Well, I have to say, Errol, one of the things I admire about this book, and I admire about you generally, is that you do so much for New Orleans, and yet you're so graceful and self-deprecating. And then finally, in this book, you allow as you've accomplished some amazing things. And one of them was serving on that Blue Ribbon Commission during the Dorothy May Taylor ordinance period.
Yeah, that was in 92. That was when Dorothy May Taylor introduced this ordinance, which in effect integrated Carnival. It was a problem that people, it was out there. It was something that people needed to talk about. I'm not convinced that everybody understood the issue. And I think what prompted that ordinance was that not long before that was the famous election between David Duke and Edwin Edwards. Now, I took the result of that election as being a good sign because Duke was defeated with 60% of the vote. And so people united to defeat David Duke. But other people saw it as, well, why did he get that far? Why did he get 40% of the vote? And so some people saw this as at the time to raise these racial issues. The ordinance, as it was originally written, would have pretty much outlawed any sort of regulation by race or gender or anywhere else. And by size, and it was quickly amended. For example, women's organizations didn't want an ordinance saying you got to have men in it.
I did love that little sign that said, "No penis in Venus."
Yeah, okay. And Pelican let that go, which is great. Okay. Also, I would hate if there was a law that mandated me being a Mardi Gras Indian. Okay. I mean, I have absolutely no business being a Mardi Gras Indian, okay? Because I understand that that comes from a different cultural history.
Exactly.
I mean, that's something that's just totally different from them. And so if there is similarity by race, I guess it depends what the reason is. In the case of the Mardi Gras Indians, which, by the way, was quickly amended too because they changed the ordinance that it didn't apply to any groups under than 50, so that it wouldn't apply to the Mardi Gras Indians. But if the Mardi Gras Indians, if they remain all black because of cultural tradition and all that, that's fine. If they remain all black because they hate other people, well, that's wrong. And then the same thing with white organizations. And so there's such a hodgepodge in Mardi Gras, I mean, in terms of different races and cultures and all that. But ultimately, I think that the law that governs Mardi Gras participation is the law of economics. I mean, most crews are just really looking for people. I think the division by gender, I think people understand that. Because to me, one of the most important things that's happened in Mardi Gras in the last 2 decades is the rise of the Crew of Muses. I mean, what an impact that Muses has had on Carnival. And there had been all-female crews before, but there had never been one in the age when women were such a dominant part of the workforce. And there had never been a women's nighttime parade either. There had been the Venus Parade and the Iris Parade. And the sort of imagination that they brought into it, it just excites people. And the night of the Muses Parade, I go out on the neutral ground, and there's two other parades that night, and there's two other parades which are old traditional parades. And I love those parades, but you can tell the crowd is there, okay, with
It's a
time the
long
music.
night, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is one night. But that's been important too. And I don't know if there should be a law saying that Muses has to bring guys in. The original law actually calls for criminal penalties. So under the original law, if it existed, the captain of Muses could have gone to jail for not having a guy in the parade. And so that was stuff that people quickly amended. Okay. Fortunately, the captain of Muses is a lawyer, so she could have gotten out of it quickly, so.